Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
We go to 93.5, The Fan, upstate. Rob Brown joining us now, The Rob Brown Show, to talk some Carolina Panthers, Rob. And count me amongst many that maybe are looking at this game and looking at the Panthers through the lens of, oh, they're the same old Panthers. But very quietly, above 500 here through seven games at 4-3, why is this Panthers team a team that the Bills should not take lightly coming up here on Sunday?
Fellas, thanks for having me. Good to be here. The answer to that is the run game. The answer to that is Rico Dowdle. The answer to that is the fact that they've kind of developed a rhythm a little bit with the run game, right? This is Rico Dowdle, who showed up from Dallas, didn't really know where he was going to fit in. You knew the offensive line was going to be good, got a couple of injuries, still playing really well. We saw the development of Bryce Young, probably out, though we had an interesting development with him actually at practice yesterday with allegedly a high sprain, ankle sprain, so that is a little confusing. But even if Bryce Young doesn't go or does go, it has been the last 3 weeks about the fact that this team has figured out how to run the ball, how to use those two guys in tandem. Rico Dowdle had 2 weeks in a row where he was well north of 200 all-purpose yards with that offense. They worked Chuba Hubbard back into it, so those numbers came down a little bit last week. But the big question for Carolina going into that game on the road at New York last week was, is Rico Dowdle now officially your number one? Is Chuba Hubbard going to get his job back? Is it kind of a tandem operation? They ran it in tandem last week, but it never really felt like they found a groove as far as who to use more often, less often, in what situation. Now Dave Canales has had a full week of practice last week, a full week of practice this week, a game to kind of break down the film on. And if Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard get comfortable in their role, if the Panthers get comfortable with the play calling with both of those guys in their role, this team can run the ball. And, you know, when you're playing a quarterback as dynamic as Josh Allen is, the only way to beat a quarterback like that is to keep his ass on the bench. And the only way to do that is with a run game. So Carolina's going to lean very heavily on that.
So, like, I remember Rico Dowdle from watching him in Dallas. Like, how all of a sudden are these numbers? And I remember seeing Chuba Hubbard, and we liked him. But, again, all these numbers. Is it the offensive line? Is it Canales? Like, what are some of the reasons that these running backs all of a sudden are having this success?
Well, I think first and foremost, it is the offensive line. And again, they are missing some guys. Robert Hunt, one of the big guys that they brought down from Vegas a couple of years ago. Top five guard, I think, in the league. This is a team that I think at the end of the year will have an offensive line that is looked at as one of the best five in the NFL. And they clicked. They had not clicked until three or four games in, but they clicked, and that started to show up. Rico Dowdle is a guy that has been slept on quite a bit. I mean, he was a very good running back for the University of South Carolina, was good with Dallas. The problem is he's just been hurt so much. He's popped his knee a couple of times. He's had an arm injury or two, and he's never really gotten the opportunity to be consistent because he has always been a feature back and has had so much asked of him. Well, he's not a feature back in Carolina, or at least he doesn't have to be with Chuba Hubbard. So now that they got some time to work Rico into the offense to work with Rico, he started to find that groove a little bit. And I think the third thing, and this is kind of what is going to hurt Carolina, assuming Bryce Young is not playing on Sunday, the third thing is that wide receiver core on the outside didn't scare anybody earlier in the season. You went with your number one as Teterrell McMillan, the young man out of Arizona State, phenomenally gifted receiver. We've seen that. But you know, kind of trying to find his role and his speed at the NFL. Xavier Leggett, a guy that was struggling out of the gate, was confident, struggling with the hands. Last week, 9 catches, almost 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He's broken out. When you have those two things working, now Hunter Renfrow, we know what he did in Vegas, kind of a find the sticks and sit down Julian Edelman style wide receiver. There was no room for him when the Panther offense wasn't clicking. People were able to shade to him. Now Hunter Renfrow is able to go back to be that guy of find the hole, sit down in it, and be the comfort zone like Adam Thielen was when he was with the Carolina Panthers. So you've really just seen a development the last couple of years of multiple positions, and all of those things working together have opened up the playbook for Dave Canales. He's been able to get a little bit deeper into the bag the last 3 weeks, and that has been a major impact on it, I believe.
Rob, I'm glad you talked about the wide receivers because I wanted to go there next with you. After watching the Bills, Drake London just had his way with the Bills secondary. He was running uncovered all over the field the last time we saw this Bills defense, and you brought up Tet McMillan and Xavier Leggett. I think both of those guys have enormous upside in their careers. However, I don't know about their chemistry with Andy Dalton. I don't know about Andy Dalton, period. Tell me a little bit about what Dalton brings to the table here, if we are to believe, and I believe that we are going to see Dalton on Sunday afternoon.
I believe you are going to see Dalton on Sunday afternoon. I mean, listen, I don't think that, especially with all we've seen with manipulating injury sheets in the past, Carolina's not going to say Bryce Young has a high ankle sprain and then roll him out there on Sunday and play him. They'll take some heat for that. So I do think you're going to get Andy Dalton, and that's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, remember last year, Bryce Young started the year, took a little while. Nothing was really clicking for Carolina. So Carolina benched Bryce Young. It was week 4 or 5 last year, if I recall correctly. They benched Bryce Young. And they turned to Andy Dalton. The offense was actually working for a little while there under Andy Dalton when he took over as the starter. He ended up getting into a car accident. The hand got messed up. They turned back to Bryce Young. And wouldn't you know it, Bryce Young comes back and he goes on a heater and keeps that job the remainder of the year. Andy Dalton is not going to blow you away, right? Like, he's not going to blow you away. He's not going to have big numbers. He's not going to make super electric plays. What Andy Dalton does, though, is he smart with the football? He's efficient with the football. He executes with the football. He's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He's not going to leave a ball 10 yards short of an in route. He's not going to throw it too far outside of a guy and not see the safety coming down on the crossing pattern. That's not who he is. Like, he's going to throw the safe throw. He's going to throw it to the open guy, and he's going to throw it efficiently. Is it going to be electric? No. But if you let that happen too many times, if you are not playing solid, disciplined football, Andy Dalton will make all of the good enough throws enough times to let Carolina get up and down the field. And unlike last year, when they really didn't have a running game to lean on that much, Andy Dalton is kind of supplemental this year. They don't need him to do all of that. They just need him to be good enough. And with the talent at the wide receiver position that has started to develop the last couple of weeks, he is very capable of being good enough to win this game if the Buffalo defense is not on point.
We're talking to Rob Brown, Fan Upstate, previewing Bills and Carolina. Rob, I'm curious to get your thoughts here on Bryce Young, because Young comes out first pick overall, coach gets fired, people saying that Carolina made the wrong choice. But then you're number two, and I remember what game this was for me. I'm watching the game against Kansas City, and there's a few throws that Young makes. I'm like, oh, there it is, and they're moving the ball. And then you look at his stats toward the end of last year, and they're impressive. Like, okay, maybe this is coming together. And now we get to this year, and it's I don't know if he's taking that next step forward. Now he's hurt. So where are we at? Where's the Panther Nation at right now when it comes to Bryce Young?
Yeah, I mean, listen, and that is, I think, the way that a lot of us feel. And I'll tell you the truth. I cover this guy on a regular basis, and I, to some degree, feel that way, because you had the breakout in the second half of last year. You had the big flashy numbers. It felt like everything was going well. This year starts off not great. Now we're at a point where it feels like Bryce Young's kind of a, you know, 200 yards and a touchdown, 200 yards and a 2-touchdown kind of guy. But I also point out the same thing that we talked about with the receivers a minute ago. Last year, it was all about Adam Thielen. But what is Adam Thielen? Adam Thielen is kind of, I mean, he's not your star X wide receiver, right? He's a guy you want to have with Addison and Jefferson playing for the sticks. Carolina had to have that guy be the number one overall wide receiver for them, which is not that role. Now they've got a true number one in McMillan. Now they've got a number two in Leggett, assuming the confidence stays there. And they've got an Adam Thielen replacement in Hunter Renfro. So all those things I talked about are in play. But I think the other aspect of this is they don't want to create a world where Bryce Young has to be the guy. There was a lot of concern about the start to the career. I am a big believer in the philosophy that sometimes we take the term franchise quarterback and we put all the weight on quarterback and not enough on franchise, right? And I think you can look around the league at guys like Baker Mayfield, guys like Sam Darnold, and see plenty of quarterbacks that maybe they were just with bad franchises when they got their start, and they got saddled with a bad owner, a bad GM, a bad head coach, whatever. Well, Bryce Young's in that group. The Frank Reich experiment was a disaster. David Tepper was the most hands-on, but absolutely zero reason for being owner in sports. He had a bunch of yes-men running the program. So you had the Matt Rhule hiring, toxic for that program. Then they go to Frank Reich, toxic for that program. Now they got Dave Canales that we think is the guy, but it's going to take some time. So I still think Bryce Young is going to be fine. I just think there is still a lot of we've got to figure out exactly what works best for and around him, and let's lean on the run game until we get there, which is effectively what this team is doing right now.
It's funny that you mentioned two guys that were both with the Carolina organization before they flourished with other organizations and resuscitated their career. Rob, I look at the defense.
That may have been a coincidence.
I look at the defense, and short of J.C. Horn, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really sure who any of these guys are, yet this defense is formidable, and you know, you don't get to 4-3 by accident. Tell me a little bit about what Josh Allen and his teammates are going to be facing here on this 3-4 D for Carolina.
Yeah, well, it's you know, again, a lot of young guys, right? I'll start up front, and I'll say this, and I know that this is a take that I have had some guys laugh me off their radio station because of this take, and I've had other guys that go, I see it. Guys, Derrick Brown is one of the best three defensive tackles in the NFL. And the problem is he's just been, like last year, he's been hurt so much that he's really only been able to show it off in spurts. But Derrick Brown is a double-team generator. If you are not putting two bodies on that guy, he will disrupt. And even if you do, he was getting double-teamed by the Jets last week. And granted, it's the Jets, but he was getting double-teamed by the Jets last week. Still came up with, I think, two sacks and like 9 or 10 hurries throughout the game. And what that has done for Carolina is allow them to use a couple of young edge rushers, two guys that they picked up in the draft, Nick Scowerton out of Texas A&M, Princely Amora out of Ole Miss, those two SEC pass rushers. Well, last week they got on the stat sheet. They both got a sack and a half last week, generated 4 or 5 pressures each on their own. So Carolina is trying to build from the defensive line out. They are weak at linebacker, and I think that is the one thing on that side of the ball that I assume Buffalo is going to feast on. There is not a linebacker that is necessarily going to be able to match Josh Allen in terms of just athleticism. If he starts making his way to the sidelines, if you start leaning on the design quarterback runs, you can beat the linebackers. But standing inside of the pocket is where Carolina is trying to disrupt. We want to get to the quarterback. We want to hurry him up. We want to make him go through his progressions faster than he likes, and then let's let those DBs feast, because there is J.C. Horn. You've got a set of defensive backs that are, they're ball hawks. They will make mistakes. They will leave holes in the coverage. They will occasionally get outrun in man-to-man if you get them on the outside. But they are ball hawks, and they are aware of where the ball is going to go. So to me, any team that plays Carolina, but especially Buffalo, it is going to be your offensive line that dictates the success of your offense against Carolina. Derrick Brown, the two guys on the outside, the two rooks, they're, you know, Josie Jewell in the middle got cut down a couple of spots. There are some guys on this roster that can create a little pressure, disrupt the pocket, and make a quarterback move. If your offensive line is off, or if your quarterback struggles to throw the ball on the run, which I'm not worried about with Buffalo, obviously, so it really just is about your line. But if your O-line can keep the pressure off of Josh Allen by eliminating Carolina's biggest threat, which are those three names that I just said across the front four, that's where you're going to really get an opportunity to put the ball in the end zone.
not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Rob, a question off the beaten path here, because I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the owner, David Tepper, who, all right, he fires coaches, he throws drinks at fans. Is he someone who's going to get, we know he's a wealthy man here, but ultimately in this sport where development does take some time, does this guy have the patience to deliver Carolina a winner in the end?
Well, that is what Carolina fans are praying to the football gods about right now, because David Tepper is a guy whose entire legacy since he bought the team when Jerry Richardson was forced to sell it a handful of decades ago. The problem is he has always wanted to be hands-on. And this is where I start to have my fun. Billionaires are yes people. They're looking for yes people. And they are the smartest people in every room. Just ask them, right? Like, there has never been a billionaire that doesn't think that they're the smartest guy in the room. And that includes NFL owners. Now, most of them will at least get out of the way. But when you get one like a Jerry Jones, like a David Tepper, you're going to have them get hands-on. Well, Dave Tepper embarrassed himself for a couple of off-seasons there, both because he and his old general manager, Scott Fitterer, who was the definition of a butt-kissing yes-man, made a bunch of decisions that didn't work out. And since he was getting so frustrated like that, he was doing the things you were talking about. He was throwing drinks in fans' faces, and he was allowing his wife to hand plays written on a cocktail napkin to the head coach and make him practice those plays. I think last year we kind of hit a breaking point, because David Tepper went into a bar in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is kind of known for being a blue-collar everyman bar. I'd be lying to tell you I hadn't stumbled out of that bar a time or two after watching the Panthers play, because sometimes that's the only way to have gotten through some of those games. It's kind of an everyman blue-collar Panther fan bar. He went in there, and he got into an altercation with the owner. They had a sign up criticizing the Panthers. I watched the tape, and I talked to some people at that bar. I think what that was David Tepper, noted billionaire hedge fund manager that has zero social skills that relate to people who live paycheck to paycheck. I think he went in there and tried to have a laugh to show, hey, look, guys, I can be one of you guys, right? Like, I can be a normal on the street guy. And the reality is, no, you can't, Dave. Like, you live in an ivory tower. Go up there. Enjoy your billions of dollars. Enjoy owning a football team. Leave us alone. Just give us a good team. And it didn't work. So the social skills kind of let him down. You haven't heard anything since then, right? This is what I point out to Carolina Panther fans. Since that incident in that bar, you haven't heard anything from David Tepper. He wasn't around during the draft. He was out of the way. He hasn't been talking about the team. Last year, he was like Jerry Jones. You could not put a mic in front of David Tepper's face. It was like a moth to flame, right? We haven't heard a word out of the guy. So hopefully what we're seeing is, with the back half of last year, with this team on an upward trajectory this year, hopefully Tepper has learned a little patience and said, okay, if I stay out of the way and I let football guys make football decisions, then good things are going to happen. It may have taken him a long time to get there, but if he's learned that lesson, I think Carolina's in a good spot.
Gino, you want to talk some ACC?
I do. Or SEC. College football here, the SEC, who's going to be coming out on top? We're kind of coming to the conclusion it's not LSU. And you know, granted, Rob, I listen to you a lot when you're appearing on BetMGM tonight, which we carry on our show. You're also on Sundays, but that's more NFL talk. But I know you know college football. So big weekend of SEC football. And I might be putting you on the spot here, but who are some of your better plays this weekend?
First off, you're never putting me on the spot to talk about college football. It is one of the greatest gifts the universe has ever given us, guys. So never put me on the spot. Listen, I think it depends on where you want to look. First and foremost, I cover the South Carolina Gamecocks. Hammer Alabama minus 11.5, boys. Listen, every year it feels like there is what we call it around here, a Gamecocktober surprise that is lurking where South Carolina upsets somebody. And this is their last chance to make that happen. That's not going to happen. I mean, Mike Shula, who is, speaking of Carolina Panthers, their old offensive coordinator, who ruined the career of Cam Newton when he was in Charlotte, is the offensive coordinator for South Carolina. My only question about that is, why? Why is this still happening? We came into this year with Lenore Sellers, who was looking at a consensus number one overall draft pick in the NFL next year, and he has ruined South Carolina's offense. They have 297 yards a game, the only SEC team not to get to 300 yards a game. They are the seventh worst offense in football, and Mike Shula has changed exactly and precisely not a single damn thing about it, despite the numbers week after week after week being embarrassing. I know the Gamecocks are looking for an upset. I know they want one. They want to feel good. It's not happening against Alabama. Ty Simpson is spectacular. Again, he's much like I was talking about with Andy Dalton. Is he electric? No. Is he making plays that we would consider Heisman moments? Probably not. But, man, when he goes out there and he's going 21 of 24 for, you know, 275 yards and three touchdowns, when he finds out that, oh, that Ryan Williams guy can catch a little bit, gets him the ball, this offense is humming, man. Since they lost to Florida State, which I genuinely think was a game they lost because they looked and went, Florida State was 2-10, they suck. We just got to roll the crimson helmet out there on the field and they'll roll over. Since then, they've been a wagon, and I don't think that is going to stop. I'm also going Texas A&M minus 2.5 over LSU. If you've listened to me on MGM, you know I've been hammering the drum since week two. LSU's an overrated football team. You know, they've got a head coach that nobody in Baton Rouge likes. Nobody likes Brian Kelly. Nobody. They'll fake it when he's winning games.
Yeah.
But if he's not winning games, nobody likes Brian Kelly. He's maybe the most unlikable dude in college football. That team has fallen apart. They've just fallen apart, and I don't see that going anywhere. This is a game that Mike Elko gets the boys up for in Texas A&M. Marcel Reed has been much better defensively. Texas A&M, who has given up a lot of points up front, have kind of started to develop a little bit. So the two highlight games, if you want to call them that, I'm going to take the favorites, and I'm going to take them juiced. Alabama minus 11.5. Give me A&M on the road minus 2.5. I might even tease that up to 3.5, depending on what the plus money bet I'm going to get is.
Rob, great stuff. Appreciate you making time for us. Let everybody know where we can get more of your work there at the Fan Upstate and the Odyssey app and the BetMGM Network, as Gino was mentioning.
Absolutely, guys. I'm happy to come on anytime you want. You can find me on social media at The Rob Brown Show. That is across Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. I do a bunch of stuff on there. My show, The Rob Brown Show, is a weekday morning show from 6 till 10 a.m. You can find it and listen to it live at thefanupstate.com. And then you can find me, I'm not going to lie, Saturdays around 1 o'clock with a big glass of bourbon in front of the couch. Fellas, enjoy college football. It's the best.
Here's the difference between where we are and where you are. Like, you identify as upstate. Here in Rochester, if somebody says upstate, we find that offensive. That's almost like kind of like, you know, slander from somebody downstate. That's the way we kind of view it, Rob.
You know, I've been to New York like six times, but like every other boring tourist, I've only ever been to the city. I have a friend that is from up that way who has been telling me, like, you've got to come to New York, but you've got to get outside of the city and go see the rest of the state. Boys, I may get on the horn, pay you guys a call, and come host my show from your studio one day in the near future. I've heard it's a beautiful part of the country.
Rob, don't threaten us with a good time. And New York State is a great place if you like high taxes and high crime.
Come on.
We've got it all. I'm kidding. It is a beautiful state.
We've South Carolina, my guys. There's room.
Rob, don't be a stranger, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, fellas. Anytime. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There's Rob Brown, the Fan Upstate in the free-to-download Odyssey app. Hear him here on the Fan Rochester weekends on the BetMGM Network.
Okay, I'm going to give you a takeaway, and then I'm going to give you the Bills injury update. So my takeaway from Rob's interview when he's talking about Carolina's linebackers and he's saying, oh, Josh Allen should be able to run if he wants to run to the outside. I'm thinking, yeah, not only Josh Allen, I think James Cook. James Cook, who I think the Bills kind of took their foot off the pedal here in these last two losses. Get James Cook moving against those linebackers, Mike Danger, where that would be the irony. Yes, Carolina's going to try to run the ball. Yes, Carolina's going to have some success running the ball, but James Cook is one of the best five running backs. James Cook is the best running back on the field Sunday. It's not Rico Dowdle. It's not Chuba Hubbard. It's James Cook.
Yeah, I said that earlier this week. Coming out of the bye week, what do you want to see out of the Buffalo Bills? I want to see them establish the run again. I want to see them return to this physical identity that they had early in the season. And maybe the offensive line has just been banged up. I mean, maybe the bye week was exactly what they needed. And they can come out and they can dominate the line of scrimmage. And James Cook can have the kind of game that we saw him have through the first four games of this season against Carolina. That would be a win would be enough for me. You know, if they can do that and the defense doesn't completely fall on their face against Andy Dalton, come on. I have zero faith in Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback.
The other thing, and I know you say no one cares, but I called this on Monday. I said exactly what would happen because we're exploring what do you do with the safeties? Do you promote Hancock? Do you promote Jordan Poyer? And well, wait a second. What if it kind of blows up? All right. How do you save face? Injury. Yes, injury. Oh, neither guy is injured. And then yesterday, wait a second. Taylor Rapp didn't practice, and we talked to Sal Capaccio yesterday. Sal, what happened here? When did this happen? Well, apparently it happened at the end of the game. We didn't know. Of course you didn't know.
Yeah.
Did it really happen? Well, there are three guys that did not practice today, Mike Danger. Jordan Palmer, Josh Palmer, wide receiver. Also, Daquan Jones. And yes, again, not practicing
Taylor
with
Rapp.
A knee injury.
Taylor Rapp's not playing this weekend.
And if you're wondering, if you weren't with us yesterday, all right, who would be the guy that would step in if Rapp can't go?
It's Jordan.
Yeah, it's going to be Poyer.
It's Jordan Poyer.
It's going to be Poyer. I want to see Hancock. They're going to trust Poyer. I think in this instance, though, where you're just going to need run support, Poyer can still tackle. So I'm okay with that this week.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Well,
I don't love it.
It's
but
the best of all the bad options.
Let me see it with my eyes, and let me see if it actually works. I don't love it, but we'll see. With Rapp and the knee injury and not knowing when that occurred or when that happened, yeah, awfully convenient. Hope he gets right, and we get to see Rapp again on the field soon. I'm sure some Bills fans would never like to see Rapp on the field again. I'm not one of those guys. I've liked Rapp's game with the Buffalo Bills, save for maybe like the last couple of games. Haven't been great. But maybe there was an injury there that he was hiding or that he was dealing with. Well, now he has some time to get that sorted out. We'll get to Andy Behrens of The Deep Shot. He's stopping by for some fantasy football advice here as Week 8 gets underway tonight in Los Angeles. The Chargers hosting the Vikings on Prime. So we'll get Andy's thoughts on the Week 8 lineups. And we'll take your calls as well. 866-4326 is our number. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.